Hello from the studio in Nitro, West Virginia. This is Unreasonable Doubt. It's a podcast about West Virginia University basketball. I'm Josh Witt, and I said in the last episode, can West Virginia keep it close? They were able to for a half. And then that second half got out of hand, and then West Virginia scored a flurry of points to soften the blow from the computers. It's still a blow. When you lose by 22, it doesn't matter where you lose. The computers don't like that. But West Virginia was down 30 at one point. And they were down 27 with under a minute, I believe, before. I mean, that Toby Akani 3 at the buzzer had no bearing on betting lines. I don't think it had any bearing on the over-under. If it did, I'm sorry for those affected by that. But losing by 22 instead of 25, could that be the difference on the bubble? As far as how that plugs into the computer, I don't know if we'll definitively know that. But West Virginia lost this one by 22 in Provo. They get swept by BYU. That dude for BYU that killed us last year, he did it again tonight. Just unstoppable. I really thought that either Amani or Ed Andre 3000 was going to foul out in the first half. I thought that was in play. And that guy, Traore, I believe is his name, he just kept getting the ball 3 feet from the basket. And while shorter than Ed Andre 3000 and Amani, I believe, can that guy wear a shirt with a collar? His neck is strong. His neck is a tree trunk. And he's strong everywhere else. And he can do that. On occasion, the teams, he did that to West Virginia last year. He did that tonight in a game where West Virginia just could not put the ball in the basket. Now, sometimes they were taking contested threes in the first half when it was a grimy game, which favored West Virginia. But just clanks in and out. Really, when you had the second best shooting night of the season against TCU. Obviously, head coach Neil Brown pops in your head and he's saying things tend to even out. And I wish it wasn't so drastic to balance the scales and have to do it so immediately. But West Virginia went from their second best shooting night on Tuesday to their third worst shooting night of the season against BYU. I mean, sometimes in the first half, West Virginia didn't know if BYU was playing man or zone. A lot of standing, a lot of confusion. It's high elevation in Utah. I don't know. They just were not the better team. And BYU is a really good basketball team. They're shooting up the bracket matrix. They're climbing and climbing. When you look at their resume, they're only quote-unquote bad loss was to Utah at Utah in overtime, but West Virginia did not, apparently not a good matchup for the Mountaineers. They lost on the Frog Court. That's, you do that. Teams lose on the Frog Court. I can't explain that. But is there anything else to analyze? I mean, I think Javon Small technically played better in this game, and in that he wasn't just taken out of the offense. He did get a bunch of assists in Morgantown, but he was not as aggressive as the game Tuesday, but I take that all back. I'm going to delete all that out. Sincere Harris, after the game, tweeted or posted on X, Big 12 refs, followed by a few emojis. He deleted that post, but I think one of the emojis was a laughing emoji. That was not the reason West Virginia lost this game, but it didn't help the cause. And all I'm thinking in blowouts, which has happened a few times this season, is that it does give Javon Small a chance for some extra rest at the end of the game. It's not the way you want it. You want it in a blowout win where Javon gets a sit. With two games left in the regular season and a big game coming up in Salt Lake City, the more rest, the better. I'd prefer it in a blowout win, but blowout loss, you still get rest. And you got Jake Auer fighting the computer, and you got Harris Elezovic fighting the computer. But as great as the shooting was on Tuesday, it was the absolute opposite tonight. And it's still a known quantity for West Virginia, I believe, with two games remaining in the schedule. The interim revenge game on Tuesday, and then your senior day versus Central Florida next Saturday. And West Virginia sits at 8-10. They have a chance to go 500 in one of the best conferences in America. So when you watch them lose and not look great in the second half tonight, that's still in play. And if you're 10-10 in the Big 12 with the non-conference wins that West Virginia has on their resume, you're in, period. That's it. 10-10 with wins over Gonzaga and a win over Arizona. That's a quote-unquote non-conference win. And then of those 10 wins, the wins that you have against other NCAA tournament teams, you're in. So that's obviously the easiest path to the NCAA tournament and landing 2 feet on the ground being the NCAA tournament. You just somehow beat Josh Eiler and a Utah team that's good at home, and you take care of business against Johnny Dawkins in Central Florida. But winning on the road is difficult. So then if West Virginia loses to Josh Eiler and then finishes on an emotional day, is it emotional? Is it, if it's senior day, but all of your seniors have been on campus less than 12 months, I guess it's emotional because it's their last college game. I don't know. I don't want to speculate on the emotions of a senior day. Maybe, probably nobody's going to kiss the court like Javon and Daxter did in 2018. And maybe they will. You know, I'm speculating here. So if you lose to Utah and you beat Central Florida on pick whichever emotional weight comes with senior day these days, then you finish the regular season 18-13, and you're 9-11 in the Big 12. Ideally, you'd want to have at least a 500 record in conference, but West Virginia's wins versus Gonzaga and Arizona and their quad one wins in conference, I still think if they could just avoid a disastrous game in the first round of the Big 12 tournament, they make it. Now, does that mean they go to Dayton? Probably. If they get to 19 wins, I think they're in, but we'll sweat it. We'll absolutely sweat it. It's a Dayton situation. And if it's a Dayton situation, then you've made the NCAA tournament. And as rough as that felt tonight in year one, with injuries, with limited offense, you were able to overcome. You don't finish strong, but you do what you need to do to be one of the 68 teams in the NCAA tournament. And with a full roster turnover, and you're not a blue blood, that's an amazing first year for Darren DeVries. So the goals remain the goals. Easier if you win two. Still a path if you win one.
The holidays sneak up fast, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. You're listening to this podcast. You're a WVU fan. You go to Uncommon Goods, type in West Virginia University. They've got drinking glasses. They got a throw pillow. They got, you can get a cheese board in the shape of West Virginia. All sorts of cool stuff. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/musket. That's uncommongoods.com/musket for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Let's do a quick check-in again with the WVU women's basketball team. The last time there was an update on this podcast, West Virginia was 9-3 with games against teams above them in the standings. And it'd be difficult, but if they won all those games at Baylor, home versus Kansas State, and at TCU, and take care of business with the other games, they'd have a chance to win the Big 12 regular season title. They did beat Kansas State in the Coliseum on President's Day, but they couldn't hang with either Baylor or TCU on the road. But no shade on this season. They swept an improved Cincinnati team. They beat Utah at home. And so West Virginia finishes 13-5 in the Big 12. They have a chance to finish fourth, but they'll be no worse than a 5 seed. And I know West Virginia and Coach Kellogg felt a little bit of an axe to grind by being picked fifth in the preseason poll. There's a chance they're going to finish fifth, so they were right. Still have a chance to finish above those expectations. And more importantly for the Big 12 tournament, top 4 seeds get a double bye. So let's pull for Iowa State tomorrow to beat Kansas State. West Virginia has the tiebreaker against Kansas State. They would get a top 4 seed. We could also root for Kansas to beat Oklahoma State. That's the other team that's one game or a half a game above West Virginia in the standings. But the easier path is Iowa State to beat Kansas State in Ames. West Virginia is most likely not going to host NCAA tournament games, but I don't think anyone wants a piece of West Virginia in the tournament. And it's something you always say, like, it doesn't matter how good you look, you don't want to see fill-in-the-blank team in the NCAA tournament. I'm saying this, the reason when I'm saying it this time it's true is because of how J.J. Quinterly is finishing the season. Wednesday in the Coliseum, J.J. scored 38, which ties a Coliseum high on the women's side. Her mid-range was on fire, just getting where she wanted, hitting jumper after jumper. They all were going in. And then today, in a road win versus an improved Cincinnati, 31 points, 7 assists, and JJ's listed at 5'8". I have a hard time believing that JJ is 5'8". She had 7 rebounds against Cincinnati. So 31-7-7 to finish the regular season. That is very impressive. And she has an outside chance of getting Big 12 Player of the Year. I don't think that's going to happen. She'll definitely be first team, has a chance to be Defensive Player of the Year. Freshman Jordan Thomas, she had her best showing in Big 12 play today versus Cincinnati, 16 points, 8 rebounds. Jordan Harrison had 21. She made all of her threes. So West Virginia goes into the Big 12 tournament with JJ peaking. And when your best player is peaking in March, that's a good formula. That's what you want. And I don't know how the Big 12 tournament's going to go, but if you're again, if your best player is playing their best, then we've seen, I haven't followed women's basketball as much as I've followed men's basketball, but on the men's side, if one of your stars is a guard and they're hot, then the sky's the limit. So it'll be fun to watch them play in Kansas City. If it doesn't go the way they want, they get some rest. They're projected right now as a sixth seed by ESPN. That's actually a favorable seed. A sixth seed is a really good spot to be in going into a 68-team tournament. And I think this team, with JJ playing the way she is and the number of seniors this team's going to lose, including Kaia Watson, this team wants to make the second weekend, especially how it ended last year where they played Iowa so tough in Iowa City. But it's going to ride on the backs of JJ and Jordan Harrison. Wherever this team goes, however far they make it, you could just look. I want you to watch them, but you can look at the box score after the game and know, okay, this is why their season's over, or this is why they're still playing. Unreasonable Doubt is under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Go to smokingmusket.com. Read posts about WVU sports, daily throwdown. Check that out. Go to the Discord. We're talking about WVU sports and other stuff on the Smoking Musket Discord. Link for that is in the show notes. Listen to West by Pod, the WVU football podcast under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Do all that stuff. Smoking Musket. The next game on the men's side is Tuesday, 9 p.m. Back to the shadows of ESPN+. West Virginia stays in Utah. They go short drive to Salt Lake City to play the Utah Utes. West Virginia beat Utah, that was coached by Craig Smith in Morgantown. Now Utah's coached by Josh Eiler, and he's an interim head coach. And he is now 1-1. He's at 500 for Utah after Utah scored 99 points a day in a blowout of a shorthanded Arizona State team. 99 is the second highest point total for the Utes, only behind opening night where they scored 100. It's definitely a high for Josh Eiler because he's coached two games at Utah. So when you see, I didn't watch any of that game, but in the West Virginia had their second best shooting performance. Can Neil Brown from the cloud say, then things tend to even out and Utah at home doesn't get close to 100. Maybe, and just like West Virginia's poor shooting performance tonight, maybe Utah can do the opposite of the spectrum. Maybe they can have their third worst scoring game of the season. Can they come back down to earth? I think West Virginia's going to play better than they played tonight. But you've got Josh Eiler on the sideline. He's trying to exercise demons over there. And that's tough to deal with. Can they do it? It'll be fascinating because of the guy who's interim coaching for the other team. Utah's good at home. This would be a very impressive win and would alleviate. It actually, you know what it would do? It wouldn't alleviate any pressure. It actually put more pressure on senior day. Win or loss, there'll be a ton of pressure on senior day. So I'm sorry, no pressure release. I don't think this is a must-win game, but it'd be so awesome if they did it. Will they? We'll find out. That's it for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. Listen on all the platforms or just pick one. Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Overcast Podcasts, Pocket Cast Podcast, YouTube. Until next time, I'm Josh Witt. WVU for the 2024-2025 season. They have 17 wins and they have 12 losses.